once again to the Geek Whisperers, a podcast that takes enterprise IT and tells it where to stick it. And that where to stick it is marketing and social media and community and influencer marketing. And that's the kind of stuff that we do. My name's John Mark Troyer.
And I'm Amy Lewis.
And I'm Matt Brender.
And today we really have a great guest, and we're talking about some topics around community. What's in it for why are we doing this thing that we do? Why do we get together in the first place? I've been noticing a trend in social media circles to using the C word a lot more often, and that is community, which is very heartening to me, because when I first started at VMware, I was actually in the community group, and we were part of the support team, and we've retained that DNA to this day, and I really think it's valuable to our team. And I'm really pleased to introduce our guest today, who is actually a member of that team back in the day at VMware, which is Daryl Swager. Daryl, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I'm really happy to be here. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. Well, Daryl, introduce yourself, and what are you doing these days? And maybe then we'll go hit the Wayback Machine and talk about how we got here.
Sure. I'm a community guy. I've been a community guy for the last 10 years. I love communities. I really like talking about social media. I picked up a lot of other general marketing principles during that time. And, you know, I'm currently working as the manager of the customer engagement team for a large software organization. And I've watched this whole social media industry blow up around me, and it's been very, very interesting to watch, from very, very simple forum applications all the way to all the worldwide web applications like Twitter and stuff that we have today.
World Wide Web. You can tell you're old school.
I know, right?
So Daryl, I joined VMware about 2005. You had been there, but sometimes when I'm talking to a modern social media audience, and I tell them, yeah, and they're talking about Facebook or whatever and how everything's going on there. And I'm like, yeah, we started our community back in at least 10 years ago, and we'll try to figure out the date. And, you know, our community forum has 2 million members and gets hundreds of thousands of visits a day, a week, and frankly is 30% of the traffic to our whole corporate website. And yeah, they look at me like I'm just like either – I can't tell if they want to like kiss me or eat part of my leg or something. I don't know. I get a weird look when I do that. But so, Daryl, tell us a little – and you were the guy that actually –
Probably saying make them buy stuff. Make them buy things.
How do you ring fence that?
Exactly. Yeah. How many leads do you get from that? None, actually. A big zero. So, Daryl, you actually started our community, the VMware community, back in the day, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yeah, I joined VMware on January 1st or January 2nd, actually, 2001. I was the 110th employee. I was the third employee of the support department other than the manager.
What was the impetus to starting the community site back then?
You know, I started off in about 2002, they wanted me to start the knowledge base. And so I was actually doing kind of the symptoms and solution stuff. And so that was the beginning of KCS, way back on the Right Now technology. So we sort of gave the customer self-service options. We wrapped some technical writers around the knowledge base. And then one of the VPs of marketing decided he wanted to have a web-based user forum and, you know, kind of floated the idea to the support team. And honestly, guys, at the time, all I knew was that I liked to participate in discussion forums about StarCraft. I got to be honest.
Was that Usenet or were they bulletin boards?
No, they were like PHP BB, like bulletin boards.
Yeah. You know? Oh, that's right. We're in the 2000s now. Yeah,
I still see PHP BB. That's old stuff, man.
Still going.
I'm frantically Googling to keep up with this conversation.
I'm dating myself, huh?
Was there some controversy? Like, would this be officially supported? Would tech support people have to come in and answer questions? Was there uneasiness around that?
You know, we didn't really have a plan. It's funny, you know, we learned a lot in the first couple of years. We didn't really have a plan. What I knew is that I wanted the customers to be able to talk to each other, and I wanted people from the company to be able to read what they were saying about us. Those were the things I wanted. I wanted to be an advocate. You know, I came from support background way back. So, you know, there were some people that didn't want to participate, and I couldn't make them. And then there was this one guy, he was a developer. I'll be darned if I can't remember his name, but he was this French dude. He was always really standoffish, and he wrote me an email about when we were ready to launch the forums that basically said, I've been on Usenet for a long time. People participate up there all the time. A web-based user forum will never work in today today's day and age. I couldn't believe it.
What, you didn't think it would scale or something?
He didn't explain himself at all. I think I did thank him for his opinion, though. I have to tell you.
I bet he was. Well, we used to get NNTP. We used to get requests that we would do. Would we please support NNTP, which was the protocol that Usenet used, so you could use a newsreader. We would get those through like 2010. I swear,
because RSS hasn't been around since 1998 or anything.
You know, geeks are they don't like change. Anyway, Amy, Matt, Daryl, and I are sitting here reminiscing. So the funny thing is, I see like SAP's forum is really big, and it started about the same time as VMware's. But I don't know what like EMC's forum actually, or at least its current incarnation, started quite a bit later. Well, Amy, Matt, this has really become a standard part of any company's operating toolkit, right? You need a forum. You need some place for a community members to talk to each other. What I do get angry at, though, is when you – and I've bought some software like this, so shame on me. When you put the community forum behind a login so no one can see it unless they're a registered user, that makes me angry. But it seems like everybody – every company has to have one. Is that – Amy, Matt, what do you think?
It's absolutely a standard, right? I mean – what's interesting, though, and what I really look forward to picking Daryl's brain about is the evolution of that idea. It sounds like you're a fellow geek whisperer at core, where you're like standing on the hilltop shouting, "Community, do it for the people. It's good for us all to be here." And then you have this marketing machine that we're all a part of today that has taken some seemingly disconnected concepts that we find warm and fuzzy and have turned it into an enterprise necessity. And it's interesting to transition from support to marketing. And I really want to dig into that because I think it's part of the phenomenon is the measurement of it and the way it's connected into a marketing machine and inbound leads.
I was brought in as the blog guy, right? I was supposed to kind of add, it wasn't a marketing role. I was supposed to add bloggers and do stuff off of our properties, Daryl. So I don't know. We were talking before we hit record here about the rise of more of this kind of marketing aspect and social media aspect. I mean, how have you seen it developed over the years, Daryl?
You know, I didn't really like you when you showed up.
Possible? Sticking in your eye podcast.
That's what I'm trying to say. Wasn't really like your personality or like, you know, your looks or anything. Everything can be improved. But the thing of the matter is, you came in with a concept that we were going to turn the community into a machine to talk to our customers about why we're cool.
Mm.
And what we had at the time, I'll go over the timeline with you, but what we had at the time when you came in was a bunch of user forums where people were talking to each other about technology. That's what we had under my desk. And when I left the company, it wasn't 6 months before they installed a fully fledged version of a community platform that included blogs, documents, galleries where you could embed videos and other stuff like that. And I'm not saying it wasn't high time to do that, but I fought that tooth and nail because I always thought of the community as a support tool.
Well, interesting. Two comments. Amy, go for it.
Well, I wanted to jump in and say, and not to disrupt your two comments, but something I'm noticing here is the concept of community platform as the same as blog platform or different. And I'm curious what the team will say here. Like, same thing, different thing.
It's all just tool, right? It's all just platform. Yeah, Daryl, sure. I'm not sure what my I have no idea what my concept was when I came in, but I ended up resorting to like going around and begging bloggers to blog about VMware, and I did daily blogging for a long time because there really wasn't that was just getting off the ground. But one comment on the platform, it turns out that that was the upgrade that Jive gave us. So we kind of, if we were going to follow them, we had to upgrade to that platform. B, no one ever used any of those things. I mean, they use them, but they're really, they actually don't add very much. They're features that do not add very much over the core forums. The core forums are by far still to this day the most traffic part of the site. They account for that 30% of our traffic that comes to our corporate site. And in fact, and this goes to maybe Amy's question, over the years, we have tried to get people to talk about higher level stuff to talk about, even not even technology stuff, but like architecture or the direction of IT or you know, even stuff like that. And that's not what anybody wants to talk about. People have a problem, a technology problem. How do I fix it? That's it.
It's really a no bullshit place. I think the core of some of the community, especially around the VMware community that we all surround ourselves by, it's was out of necessity, right? That's why it's so well connected into support. It's, I don't know how something works. This company hasn't gotten around to documenting it yet, or quite frankly, we're doing something cooler than they ever thought of. Do you think this is going to work? And I want to talk to other people that did it. Because there is such a social nature to our infrastructure world.
It's an, I know it's a platform question, but I've been chewing on the it's a platform dismiss. No. I think the actual platform choice here does drive the conversational choices. So I think when you set it up to be more of a community, you know, kind of a community board platform as opposed to a blog, then you change conversation from, you know, I know people say blogs are conversations, yada, 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 but that is... That has evolved quickly from being true to being blog as kind of up on high, and people may chit-chat about it below, but there's still hierarchy in a way that there's not as much so on a kind of an equal flat posting site. So,
yeah, Amy, I think we really let John get away with murder there for a little bit. That he's think, like, oh, yeah, platforms are the same. LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, who cares? It all does that stuff that connects dots. That's crap. You know that. We know that. We talk about it all the time. That it really... The architecture and the way in which you interact with people through the platform really matters.
And it may just be the set of tools you inherited. But I just think it's interesting when you talk about your intentions. They were started in that community forum. That is a different thing from kind of feeding bloggers, the care and feeding of bloggers. Just because over on my side of the fence, we were heavy on bloggers, WordPress installation, and lighter on community sites. So we, you know, we've got the Jive installation now, and trying to fuse the two things back together and what energy you put to what, those are strategic choices, and it's different.
Yep. Well, and for me, and I've always felt this way, your intent is shown by the content that you create. So, you know, like a blog post is great if it's how to use native tools to accomplish a task and or some highly technical information about how to fix a problem in an existing product or a problem in a platform like Windows. Those kind of blog posts that are technical in nature are the ones that are still near and dear to my heart because they go back to my support background, and I think that's the information that the IT administrators are actually looking for. Those are the people reading our stuff, and those are the people using our stuff.
Amen.
You just hit it so hard on the head, Daryl. It's perfect.
Well, we all have to go back. I don't know, Daryl, in your day job, do you have to go back and explain that fact to marketing managers?
Oh, man.
Because we do. We that's part of our job is we have to explain
It's super funny, too, because, you know, I mean, so here it is. You know, you go to a marketing person, they want to say, listen, I want to talk about something in my blog. I'm really hot on this product and I want to talk about why it's cool. And I'm like, you sort of got to go up there and you got to talk about the market that you cater to. And you got to talk in words that an IT admin or his boss or her boss is going to understand. And if you don't, you're going to miss. And then they do their thing. And sometimes, you know, it's a sport. Sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, man.
You know, and sometimes, sometimes the thing makes a splash. Sometimes nobody reads it. That happens.
Yeah, that I think that'll educate our conversation that I hope we get into, wink, wink, on metrics and what metrics you found to matter in this new age. Because when you try to do some, you know, marketing ninja tricks like alpha beta testing of different sorts of phrasing, and you find that you're using two different connections, what's interesting is the translation layer of a tech person that speaks marketing, they're saying, well, you know, of course that one got more clicks. This article is about the tech. That other one's a fluffy piece of crap.
I mean, do you guys want me to get geeky about metrics for a second?
Yes, 100%.
Just a second.
Metric for how much I want you to talk about metrics.
Just for a second, I'm going to tell you a story because nobody ever did this research. So when I became the manager of the communities and the social team for Quest, we basically stood up the social program, and I'm like, let's put stuff out there about us. Just get stuff out there. We'll start measuring how much we're saying about ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Chatter, 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 chatter. Put stuff out there, right? So then we did that for a while, and after about a year, I went into Google Analytics for our website, and I looked at every single that I could find that it was a community site, a social media site, a URL shortener from a known social media site. And I rounded all of those things up, and I looked at all of the referrals to the website in comparison to all the other referrals. And I found that visits to our website from social media domains had about 250% longer time on site, about three times more pages viewed. There was another metric that was good too that I can't remember now.
Those are both good enough to keep
those,
us.
Those metrics were absolutely astounding. I just about fell out of my chair, so I marked up the spreadsheet. I did it all in Excel, right? I marked up the spreadsheet. I sent it off to my boss, and he's like, can you just call me and like go over this with me? I have no idea what you're talking about. So he's really a smart dude too. So I called him up. And I explained it to him, and he was like, we got to look at this some more. And I figured out how to do other measurements in that area since then as well. So I'm interested in talking more about that, but I don't want to dominate the conversation too much.
Oh, well, you're our guest. Dominate away. This is good. That's kind of the holy grail. I've looked at referrers. I can't actually, on our setup, I can't actually measure that much stuff, but I can look at referrers. And I do see that of non-Google traffic, you know, social media sites and our blogging ecosystem sends a whole lot of traffic our way, which is awesome as well. So you're bullish about this. Were they coming from, do you think that traffic was coming from things that your company was talking about yourself, or was that traffic coming from third parties slash the community talking about you?
Right. Our number one referrer to our company website from, and I'm saying non-Google, non-organic, something that wasn't already attached to a campaign type of a deal. Mm-hmm. Our number one referrer was communities.quest.com, our user communities that I set up to service our customers.
Nice.
Why have you kept that to yourself? Why doesn't everyone know that? That's impressive.
Is it? Our number two referrer was our Toad World community to our website, and that was the community about our Toad products, which still exists today, actually.
Hmm. Well, I'm curious about it, Daryl, because I've recently made a big transition from a multi-billion-dollar tech company to a tiny startup. And
fun.
And identifying whether or not the investment in social is some percentage of overall revenue, or if it's even more of a necessity the smaller you get, or it's less, it's all very, I think it's pretty undecided still. And there's some gut instinct, there's some measurements that matter, there's some that don't matter at all, but people use them every day. So I'm always, always curious to hear other people's success stories, because, Quest was very successful, without a doubt.
Yeah, we did really well. I mean, in a couple of years, we went from 1,000 to 8,000 Twitter followers, which was pretty unheard of. I mean, we just had nothing then when we started, so that's no huge surprise. It's funny, on the small business or startup company, startup technology company and community side, I hearken back to something my dad told me a long time ago. He's been in marketing forever. He said, when you think about starting up a user community, you better have some ingredients. You better have
what are they?
Customer-friendly employees who really give a shit about their customers.
Mm-hmm.
And you better have some cool technology, and you better have next to nothing to hide.
those are
the three things he said.
That's the X factor, and I think that could not be better stated. That you do have to be ready to be out in public and totally nude with your technology, and be proud of all the little ugly bits too.
Yeah, I mean, he basically told me, you know, like a company that starts a user form is either very bullish on themselves and right, or they're stupid.
Well, and in fact, the times when I bought software, some cases large dollar enterprise software that has had forums that I have not been able to see before I bought the software, like an idiot, have discovered things that I wish I would have known before I bought them. So
you wonder why they were hiding in the first place. You should think about that next time.
No, it's a huge health check for a buyer, right? Are there a lot of people there, and do they have high class problems or low class problems?
And it's to the broader point, when I try to explain influence marketing and what that concept is, you know, this is exactly what we're talking about. It is that middle layer between analytics, PR, you know, that high stuff, and you know, grumbling on the ground. It is this in between. Is that the verified Amazon reviewer? You know what I mean? Whose review, you don't know the person from Adam, but you know you can trust them because their problems sound like yours. It's balanced.
Exactly.
It's rich. And you can't just get that from a single post, a single this, a single that. Yeah, when you – any forum that's concealed that you can't kind of get that just gut check with it, danger, danger, danger.
Well, it's worse than that. There are several companies that were within my organization when I was at Quest who had just that we acquired them, who had closed user forums. And unfortunately, there are other technical communities out there like MSN TechNet and Spiceworks. And for those companies, all I really had to do was set up a Google alert to figure out where people were talking trash about them so I could point it out. Because if you hide your forums, they'll go talk trash about you somewhere else.
It's so true. 100% true. I ran bulletin boards in my past life. And, you know, we went through this of, you know, oh, what if somebody says something bad about you? I'm like, well, you get the opportunity to correct it then. And, you know, yes, we had a very simple login request. It wasn't hidden. Everything was exposed. But your level of participation was based on whether you were willing to identify yourself. And we found that did increase the civility. That baseline, you know, yes, you must have an account. Yeah, sure, you could create a fake one. You could wreak havoc. We would find a way to block you. But generally speaking, I find, you know, just a little bit of a barrier to entry indicates, you know, everybody's serious about the conversation at hand.
Mm-hmm.
But not if you go much higher, if you put it behind a wall, you better be a porn site. You better be or you better seriously have the most amazing product ever.
Yeah, it doesn't do much. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know why you would at this point. I would like to say, Daryl, you created a community with such a good culture. And people often remark to this day about the culture of the VMware community in toto, right, off the site. But I think it started with that site. And, you know, you did have to sign up, but we kept it super civil. We had user moderators that have helped us the whole time. And, you know, and I guess to go back to my former platform comment, let me defend myself a little bit and retract that. It turns out you cannot stop the people from doing what they want, right? And we added blogs and stuff like that because our platform provider added them. But what I meant was that no one used them. I mean, people use them, but they're really not where the action is. And, you know, the documents are okay, but, you know, again, I mean, they're a useful construct, but the forums are where the action is. So you cannot, you know, we could have added all sorts of bells and whistles and bibs and bobs, and we tried to add, you know, meet the experts and, you know, different, we were like Julie Cruise director trying to like, you know, here's shuffleboard on Tuesday afternoon. No one cares. So you cannot stop, you know, you cannot stop the thundering herd. But anyway, where I was going was, anyway, to Amy's point, people are surprised by the civility of how this community has grown. And now it's grown larger than VMware. And I don't know that VMware started it, but even on Twitter or whatever, it's just super civil and it's super professional. And I don't know, it just works somehow. And that's different than some other communities. I don't know, Daryl, any thoughts on that? Was that culture a deliberate thing that you inculcated there?
Yeah. I did a couple of things, and I had very public fights with a couple of people who you know, decided to try to cause trouble on the communities. And there were really two categories of users who wanted to cause trouble. People who wanted to unreasonably talk crap about the company. You know, like, I think your product is bad, and here's five very good reasons why is one thing. But people who just wanted to talk trash and were either factually incorrect or you know, very inflammatory in the use of their language. I would just ban them. Trolling, basically. I would just ban them, and I would very publicly ban them, and I would very publicly say that I'm laying the ban stick on them, and I would never let them come back. And I would watch the registrations, and I would ban them again if they tried to get another account going. And these people could never figure out how I was doing it. It's real easy to track IP addresses. And then the other category of users were people, vendors, who would have very public fights about how they make something that services the VMware platform and theirs is better than the other guys. And I would kick those guys out of the forums too. Forget about it. We're here to talk about our technology, virtualization in general, and how to fix problems you're having with our products. If you want to talk about something else, go somewhere else and have a good time with that. That was my attitude for the forums, and I very publicly acted like that the whole time.
And I want to jump in here. I like how this ties into another conversation we had with Frank Denneman about where you put the velvet rope and what it means to be inside and outside of a community. And I think one of the elements of it is the culture. And in that conversation, we talked about knowing something about somebody and bringing them in mattered. I just want to underline the point you're making around culture. I think there is a tone. I think you can change the tone, but I think the sort of leader of the pack sets that tone.
Yeah, and I didn't. And honestly, when I came onto VMware and people started talking about what we were doing and the things they didn't like, John, you know this. Oh my God, licensing. So do they still complain about licensing tonight?
We've had several famous episodes, yes.
Okay, I'm sure I was there for one or two of them. I mean, we would have outright user revolts. We would have forum threads where they would post 500 things in the forum thread about how shitty the new licensing scheme was. And I would just grab the URL to the beginning of the thread and I'd paste it to a bunch of executives. And This was the way I got their attention. Just read what the people are saying about us, guys. And it changed. It was very strange. It didn't work at first, but then slowly, as more executives got involved in looking at what the customers were saying about us, and as VMware grew, listening to the customers and talking to the customers and understanding what they want from us became a part of our DNA as a company. That's awesome, and that doesn't happen everywhere.
No, there's, and it also, I think, with people that didn't have it be so core so early, it's maybe easier to resist that. And what's coming to mind as I've gotten into a discussion with someone I respect greatly for their expertise, and they were saying, well, okay, you're coming to me with one or two or three tweets from people that we know are influential and have an opinion. That doesn't make the case. That doesn't mean we should change something. And it came down to a question of how many times you need to tally, how many customers you need before it's a problem.
Yeah.
Again, it gets back to you're explaining to the world what your stance as a company is. And I think people are starting to understand that more and more. I think it's gone in waves. Like I said, forums, I was doing the bulletin board thing back 10 years ago. And it would, at the early beginning, do you remember when people used to pretend they were somebody else and go log in? It's hilarious now because you're right. IP address. Hello. Yeah. And most people didn't know anything about masking their IP address, especially in the field I was in. It wasn't that hard to track it down. It was such a foolish shortcut. And I think now we see a little bit of the war of company culture. And it's interesting to me. I think we're hitting on something maybe bigger than our topic was initially. But I think forums kind of give you a pulse in a way that it's good for both the company to listen to it, and it also gives you a sense of how the company conducts itself if you're somebody who's looking to do business with that particular group.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the piece of the puzzle that I helped put together at VMware. When a customer would say something particularly negative about us and other customers would say me too, when it reached some sort of critical mass, I don't know what that critical mass was. At the beginning, I'd get an email out and I would say, look what they're saying. What are we going to say back to them? Right. And the what are we going to say back to them part, it was really, really hard, and we had to wrangle a lot at the beginning to get that part out of the company. But then they just do it now, right? Right, John?
Well, I mean, there's always some we're better at it. But there's always the cases where, you know, a product marketing manager will come and say, you know, this thread is saying bad things about us. It must be deleted. And we,
oh no.
And we point to our terms of use and we say, no, in fact, you know, now this gives us a chance to answer them. And, different groups have different facilities with, you know, actually getting on there without an order from the Pope, you know, to actually explain what's going on or respond. The funny thing is, and what we try to teach is an actual human being that shows up on a forum and responds, even if it's, I can't help you right now, but thank you for that feedback, can totally diffuse the situation.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Again, years of doing that. My sort of story, I took over a forum that was, it was like New York in the 80s. You would not want to go there on a dark night.
Oh, dear.
And it was, you know, random. Every third link was porn. People weren't who they said they were. It was just ridiculous. It was untended, unkempt. It was hideous. And we ripped it down. We put something new up. I literally deputized people. I talked about them as deputies. And people who were interested, who would actually engage properly. And, I mean, it was a month. It took a month. We just ripped the whole thing down, put something new up, and cleaned it up, changed who ran it, changed the culture. It's possible. Because, you know, that old... I think... So the other lesson to me there is you can't not tend your forums. Because exactly what you just said, John, you can't let things like that run so rampant without engaging, responding, bringing it up the chain, because it will just get worse.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily subscribe to a broken windows theory of policing, but in this case I do, right? You've got to stomp on the bad stuff. You got to report.
It was 100% the broken windows thing. I mean, I actually do believe in that for this, because I think when things look nice and people behave, it's such an overused word, but when people behave nicely to each other, then more people are willing to participate. And in particular in our culture, where in technology, there's lots and lots of introverted people who are, somebody used the phrase today, we're extremely brave behind our keyboards. It's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, since this is the compliment Daryl hour, I'm going to repeat my statement that the culture of the VMware communities is so good. Actually right now it's been trained into all – it's peer pressure at this point. The whole VMware community site is run by about a dozen or two dozen moderators. They're all users, partners, customers. They run the whole thing. They tell people – like if you have somebody, a sales guy that's a little too aggressive, they will tell them back off. They'll shoot them a private message and say, you know, in this community – and they won't be real super mean about it, but they're like, in this community, that's not the way that we act. In this community, we help each other, and we get respect and reputation by helping each other and showing how much you know. And you're welcome to put a link back to your product or whatever in your signature, but we do not, you know, by soliciting stuff people directly, you're just going to turn them off.
So yeah. It's really about that distributed management and the deputizing the citizen. It's not even analyst in this case; it's citizen authority.
Yeah, and
citizen's arrest.
I know other enterprise software companies that have, you know, 30 moderators just running their site. Now they get a little more hands-on attention, right? If there's actual 30 employees helping out, a little more Julie the cruise director activities and stuff. But you know, that's a substantial capital cost that we don't have.
Well, and here's, I have a question. So we've talked a lot about forums. You own the platform. You know, broken window theory, I think, does apply here. What happens when it's not your subway? Whenever you are way outside your comfort zone and it's on public forums. In particular, I'm thinking about Twitter. So an unowned platform.
Or even Spiceworks or something.
Yeah. What happens? Does your culture bleed over? How do you manage it there? Has that ruined the culture of forums? Daryl, what do you think?
Oh, boy. You know, some of the microblogging platforms like Twitter are really good at driving traffic, but aren't really very good as communication vehicles. And I don't really find them, other than having quick chatter-like conversations with folks, to be very good human contact vehicles either. I find when I have to make human contact, I have to go beyond Twitter to get meaningful information. But on the community side of things, oh boy, I don't know. I think
by Daryl.
Daryl, I thought I knew you until you said that.
It is, I thought I knew you, and then podcast. So and we'll then have to fight later.
Okay, that's fun. I don't know. Here's the thing for me. Communities like Spiceworks are really cool. I like general technical communities. Spiceworks' business model is kind of funky and lends itself to a little weirdness with the green guys out there posting about themselves a lot. And I wonder what's going to happen with that whole thing eventually, but we'll see, right, in the future. On a community, I actually like it when people come and market themselves on communities when they do it in a very specific way. So let's say we've got a VMware person who makes software for VMware. I'm just going to use an example for VMware. If they came onto the VMware forums and they inserted a little piece of technical value into a forum conversation, people having trouble with this or that, and they inserted a piece of technical value like, yeah, I've had that problem before. Here's what I did to solve it. You can run some of these commands to diagnose it. By the way, I just wrote a blog post all about this on my site, and here's a link to it. I kind of let that stuff go, and even if it sent them to a competitor website, I'm like, if I look at the blog post and it's useful information, why the hell not let them send them people there?
Oh, yeah, I would say that's a win, if it's respectful and if it's actual helpful to the conversation. But yeah. Amy, were you talking more about drive-bys and personal attacks?
Well, I certainly don't like any drive-by marketing. I never allowed that on the VMware forums. Anytime people started name calling, I started moderating posts, and I think all the user moderators do the same things.
Oh, yeah.
Civility is very important, very important. Yeah. But third party properties that you can't control, I tend not to send people in a company that I'm in charge of our strategy. I tend to try not to send people from my company out to those communities to participate. And rather drive the conversation back to our communities where we can control some of the message and we can control the output.
Also, if you've done your work, it's better to have a native of those communities talk on your behalf or talk about you or defend you. So if you've done your work, you have somebody, you know, you have people that hang out on server fault and have points on server fault and are also knowledgeable about VMware and can answer the questions and or do whatever they need to do to add value there. You don't have a newbie product manager who's never been on server fault come over and maybe inadvertently not behave as to the norms in that community. So it's always better to have somebody who lives there.
Back to tribal theory, guys. Like we want one of ourselves, one of us has to be the one that introduces us to either a good answer, even if it is a good answer, if it's from somebody that looks like ourselves on a forum or on a
who knows
a community.
Who knows the social norms? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You got to speak the same language. You got to look the same. You know, you don't dress in a suit to go talk to developers. Yeah. Like that's not always the truth, but in many cases, it is the difference between being accepted immediately and not. Yeah. Now, I wanted to switch gears on this if I could, guys. Daryl, I heard you have some experience with consolidation of brand accounts.
That's a
conversation we haven't hit directly on the Geek Whispers as hard as it deserves. Because there's nothing quite as confusing as knowing if you're talking to, you know, one of 85 alternate versions of the same company name with different geolocations and or spellings and or underscores.
Right.
So,
or product.
If you want to introduce your experience to that and just, you know, either rant about it or talk about it.
I walked into Quest Software and what I found was a complete disaster area. It was like somebody just threw a bunch of social media accounts out there onto the web and none of them were really being watched or taken care of. And then there were some groups who were doing a pretty good job and some groups who weren't. We were on 8 or 9 different blog platforms. It was literally a disaster area. And
nobody's ever had that experience here.
No. I mean, I'm sure, right? And so, you know, I mean, We set out to centralize all these disparate, particularly the social media accounts, because we weren't doing anything with most of them. But
my product needs a Twitter account.
Yeah, that's a real challenge. So, and everybody's a special case, and they always will be. So it was really a series of negotiations with all the account owners, and basically, I mean, you have to get some top down support too. So we developed and went to our marketing VP and gave him a consolidated social media strategy a set of channels that represented all of our solution areas that we were going to roll with, that we actually had the resources to take care of. And we went about and started renaming him with his blessing. And when we ran into problems, we had him as air cover. But we needed that executive support in order to get that consolidation process done. And by the way, if you acquire a company and you want to merge their LinkedIn account with your LinkedIn company account, you can forget about that. LinkedIn does not move their users over into your user pool. And I maybe you've gotten past that. Can you tell me? John?
No. Well, I mean, LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter to a lesser extent, but they just change rules on a weekly basis. I mean, that's part of why they pay our salary. People pay our salaries, right? Because we got to keep track of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, so LinkedIn is the only platform that won't allow us to merge our user pools when we merge accounts. Little known fact. And people who don't merge social media accounts all the time probably don't know that.
Well, we just put a lot of effort into our LinkedIn product page. And they just told us today that they're yanking all the product pages off LinkedIn. So, or at least ours.
Awesome.
So that's great. It sounds like you guys did the right thing, right? You came up with a plan, corporate-wide plan. You went, you know, hopefully you did that with input from across the enterprise. You went to your marketing VP, and then then everything went smoothly.
Yeah, that's how it happened. No, we had lots of hiccups on the way. You know, I mean, we had to consolidate communities and move content around. You know, I mean, there were a lot of people with a lot of different agendas. You know, when you're at a company that acquires companies at a rapid pace, the M&A process can be difficult. So
the funny thing is, from the end user perspective, it's almost always better because almost every company has too many channels, and you can never figure out when to do anything or where you'll get the information you need. That's my perspective. Less is almost always more from a user perspective.
And that's kind of the curious balance, right? That as people inside an organization, we all kind of want our own sort of angle at the same corporate voice, so that, you know, no, my audience is different than your audience, you know, fellow person in the same product organization, but from a different country. Don't you understand that? But from the customer standpoint, they're looking for unification more often than not.
That's the classic saying of your org chart is showing. You know, nobody wants to see that.
So, Amy, your org chart is showing adage actually is often traced back to Conway's Law, which comes from a book in 1968. From the National Symposium on Modular Programming. And the original quote is, "Organizations which design systems are constrained to produce designs which are copies of the communication structures of these organizations."
Holy crap, break that down again.
I know. Who knew? I thought I was just being funny.
No. It's everything, all the ways we communicate and market. In fact, even the products we produce reflect our org charts.
Oh my God. I can't tell you how many times I want to tell people, you know, we should name our social media accounts the things that people would look for us for on the internet and not the name of our internal department names, right?
Yeah. Again, never been there. never been there. Always.
So consolidate. 9 times out of 10. And honestly, think about, I'm very doomsday. Is waiting going to make it better whenever it gets so out of control?
Yeah.
I'm definitely passionate about this one. I refuse, absolutely 100% refuse, and I get requests. I was getting requests until I alienated everybody who asked me to help them establish and seed various Twitter accounts, and I said absolutely not.
Well, and I got to be honest with you guys. I'm very draconian about this now, and I'm very heartless about this now as a person who's been doing this for a long time. If you come to me and you ask for a community or you ask for a social media channel, because now I just don't have people cowboying it up anymore and creating accounts on their own. They just come to me first. If you're going to go create a community or a social media channel and you don't have a plan, come to me with a plan and then we'll talk. And then if we do create the community for you and you let it die, we're going to shut it down and you're going to wave your arms and you're going to jump up and down and scream. And as soon as you come back to me with a plan to revive the community, we're going to flip it back live. It's very shocking when it happens, and I'm quite heartless about it.
you know, but you've got the roadmap, the scars, or you've been on the Oregon Trail long enough. You know, yeah, that's the right thing to do.
Well, and I think you know what your users are feeling on the other side. We've already said, like, yeah, the org chart is showing and the end users are looking for less, not more. They just want a good channel, not 1,000 crappy ones. So
I'll put it to you this way. When I go into a forum and the top three threads are the users asking whether the company is gonna let a product die or support a product anymore, or there are five unanswered questions at the top of the forums and they're from the last 2 weeks and there have been no answers, yeah, those are huge red flags for me.
Yeah, 2 weeks, or they're 6 months old, or they're a year old.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
2 weeks, I've seen years. But before we get to that, I think you hit it on the head. You've got some key, when it comes to community, you do have some key indicators. What other indicators that, like, what are your red flags, Daryl, for either where there's a void in the community that a company should be jumping on and filling with talent, or whether there is overlap and kind of a waste, or maybe just something that doesn't need to exist?
I don't really know what the magic mix is. It's super funny and every audience is a little different, but you know, there has to be a critical mass of interest from customers who hang out on the web in order for a community to be successful. And I've never figured out what that secret formula is, guys. Can you let me in on it?
Oh, thank God. Cause I think I always say, if I knew, I'd go to Hollywood and I would make $1 million.
No, every time I'm sure somebody proves me wrong, right? Like, we just had Jason Nash on, who's a CTO for Varo, and they say how they refuse to have a corporate blog, yet they have some of, like, the best social energy at that company possible. And you think, like, that, well, that's a baseline. You should have a corporate blog. But it's not true. There's no one-size-fits-all social plan.
No, I mean, if they have other ways of utilizing social to get their corporate message across, they don't need a damn blog. Yeah. I mean, they don't have to fit in that box if they don't want to.
One thing that we did kind of want to talk about as we moved on is kind of the role of community versus marketing.
Right.
And one of the reasons we started this podcast, or one of the reasons I started this podcast, was I really don't like social media very much. And so I wanted a podcast where I could talk about the kind of activities and programs and marketing and stuff I did. It turns out, you know, from Amy and Matt, I learned that, you know, really what we're doing here is influence marketing and community marketing and some other kinds of marketing like that, not social media, or at least not as it is currently thought of. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts about the role of marketing in 2014 now and this whole kind of social media community stuff that we bring to the table? And I don't know. Have we lost our way, or are we finding our? I think we might be finding our way back, but I don't know. Yeah. Are you an optimist or a pessimist about all this stuff?
I think I'm an optimist, and the reason why is because I believe that we've gone through an era of about 4 years where an incredible amount of push type content has gone out on social media with the express means of driving traffic. And I think that we've seen that some of the results of that, and like I said, you know, I've seen time on site results be better. And yet, and I can track social media to lead generation pretty easily now. I mean, dropping cookies on people is an easy thing to do as long as they give you permission to do it. And I don't have to give really any other hints. There's lots of stuff to tie that stuff together. But I don't, as a marketer, I see us coming into an era where we're going to provide more valuable technical content to customers, which is going to make our sites more relevant, which is going to make us appear more often in organic search with a lot more quality than just pushing content out to people that contains marketing mumbo jumbo in it, which is what's been going on for like 4 years now.
Well said.
Yeah, I think I'm speechless. That's good. You're fighting for the forces of good.
We're going to win, too.
I hope we are. We are going to have to arm wrestle another day about the Twitter.
Oh, yeah. That's the only place where you're dead to me.
we're big on Twitter.
Well, that's how I know both of my fellow podcasters and a huge community.
It's a very different thing, though. I'm up to my neck about Twitter because, like, it is really hard to have a conversation, and that's the only reason I would use Google Plus at this point. Because maybe that in Hangouts, but I'm tired of looking at people's nostrils. But you know, Twitter is just Twitter is okay. okay for a little bit of back and forth and Twitter, but try to have 3 or 4 or 5 people have a conversation. You know, you've got yeah. at signs that take up about, you know, 70 characters, and so everyone can add it like a grunt. It's just
I have one phrase. It forces casual brevity. You have to be brief, you have to be punctual, and if not even witty as a necessity, and that's what I love about it.
Agreed. I think Twitter has its limitations, and agreed that it's got its limitations in terms of having conversations of substance. They tend to move somewhere else. For me, I've found that a number of people I want to have extended conversations with on Twitter, I've ended up having them on Facebook, or it gets driven yep. into text or DM. And that's a conversation for another day, and I think one we need to approach is the impact, like we were just talking about, full circle. When a community is kept in private, it's badness, right? You want to have public and fully searchable, et cetera, because that gives you credibility. It gives you comfort when you're a prospective customer or even a current customer. What the Twitter often leads to closer friendships, deeper conversation, but some of that then becomes driven private. And what the cost is there. So that's something yep. I've been wrestling with as well.
Yep. That's what happens with us in my organization. Twitter is a means for us to communicate. And when we need to have a deeper conversation with a customer, we end up, taking it offline into email or Facebook or some other medium.
Yeah, no. So anyway, I have a daughter who's endlessly creating sellable items. And I'm just waiting for her to write the code. Where you have some sort of bursting function with Twitter, where you can burst and have these kind of instant chat rooms that are public, that would be more than 140, but as needed.
Better than a tweet.
What a great idea.
Thanks.
Whoa, what just happened to my audio?
Sorry. The idea was so great. The
clear
voice
your, clear your voice, Matt. Daryl, it's been way too long. I left you as a community moderator back
yeah.
years ago, and you become a full-fledged marketing, community marketing, influence marketing, social media marketing ninja. I could tell we could keep going here.
I could. I'll just come back some other time, guys, and we'll talk about some other topic. I love yeah. talking. I cannot. That's why I don't like Twitter. There's no brevity in me whatsoever.
I lack 140. Totally agreed.
Well, thanks. Once again, you've been listening to another week of the Geek Whisperers. Please, if you do listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher or any place else, go ahead and give us a rating or leave us a review. That helps other people find us. Share it on your own social networks or whatever. You can usually find us on Twitter, on Google+, on Facebook, or on our blog, geek-whisperers.com. Thanks again. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Geek Whisperers podcast, where we bring social media and community to enterprise IT. You can listen to all the episodes at our website, geek-whisperers.com, or check us out on Twitter, Facebook, or iTunes. Your hosts were John Mark Troyer, Amy Lewis, and Matthew Brender, better known on Twitter as J. Troyer, Comms Ninja, and MJ Brender. See you next week.
A guy actually got me on a call where I explained him exactly what I needed. He was like, "We don't do that." And I was like, "I know, so you can't help me."